Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Well, I think they can play harder. They can rebound the basketball. I mean, just look at the plus minus, you know, for that unit. It was not good tonight across the board. And to score only 22 points, you know, we put so much pressure on our starting group. You know, if you get stops and you rebound, you can get out and run. But we weren't getting stops. And when we did, we weren't rebounding. So now you're playing half-court basketball with some funky lineups. The onus ultimately falls on me as a head coach to try to find ways to help a group without their leading scorer in Bones Highland.
All right, I appreciate Michael Malone coming out and saying, hey, that's my bad. I got to find a better way. But, hey, all I know is that the other day when they were completely shorthanded without Jokic, without Gordon, without Jamal Murray, they found a way with some different combinations to gut out a win on the road in Dallas. Last night, with their core four back together, they lost to a Detroit team that came into this game 0-10 on the road, 3-15 overall, and had lost seven in a row, and yet they got right against the Nuggets.
Yeah, they were due.
They were due.
They yeah. were due. They were due.
They were due.
That was you know what that was? That was altruistic Nuggets being kind during the holiday season.
It's why, whereas with the Avalanche, they are a team we can trust for obvious reasons. They've earned it now.
Mm-hmm.
You can trust them to do the right thing. It just shows that it's early, but this Nuggets team has a long way to go before we can really trust them.
Yeah.
And trust them to handle their business.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you know, it's early and they're still trying to figure it out.
Oh, okay.
Come on. Can't we give them a little bit of grace?
Yeah.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, come on. Because, you know, when you're playing a team that's 0-10 on the road, you know, you still got to have everything dialed in to be able to beat that kind of team, right?
Well.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Apparently. Next and four down.
Second down.
Yeah, we need to keep looking at all the different things that we're doing. We need to be sure that we're moving the chains, scoring points, finishing drives. Had a chance there at the end of that first half to get some more points, and we came away with nothing. That's unacceptable. You know, we can't do that. We got to score a touchdown. I mean, at least get the field goal, and we didn't come away with either, so that's frustrating. And we got to keep on working to get Cortland the ball, all the different things that we can do, get Latavius going. I thought he had a pretty nice game. So got to find ways to score points.
Let me take that comment and work it into the tell me why I'm wrong theme that we got going on today, Thanksgiving edition. We got this one that came in. Mark, the Broncos will get swept by the Chiefs in these upcoming weeks and be outscored by a total of 71-17, yet Nathaniel Hackett will continue to say, we're close, we just need to score more points. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay, wait a minute. Is everything? See, the way you work this out is everything in that scenario incorrect? Or is there anything in there that's incorrect where everything else could be true? But there's one little like. So, give me that again.
All right. So you tell me the part that let's deconstruct. That you tell me the part that's likely going to be incorrect, right?
Okay.
Broncos lose 2 to the Chiefs.
Okay, that's not incorrect.
Get outscored in the process, 71-17.
That is probably not correct. That's probably pretty close.
I'm here.
And afterwards, Hackett says, hey, we're close. We just need to score some more points.
Texter, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
All right. Way to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got
two already.
Right.
Well, it's a Thanksgiving. It's a Mark's in a very giving mood, right?
Yeah.
It's a very.
But I can't find,
was absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't find anything incorrect about that entire diatribe that was just laid on you in the text. I, Yeah, 71-17. Yeah, that's about right. What is that?
I'm here.
That's about the equivalent of 35-9.
Yeah.
I'm here.
That actually sounds about right.
That does sound about right, yeah. Yeah.
Keep that. Let's write that down. Jot that down.
Okay.
Maybe I'll jot it down in my handy-dandy notebook. It's right here.
Yeah.
And 71 to say, and we'll just see.
How close we come to that.
Right.
Okay. 71-17.
I'm here.
I've got it right here.
Yeah, write it down.
I'm writing it
next
down.
Next in four right down. Now.
Third down.
Fumbled again!
So Melvin Gordon, on his way out, posted a very funny Instagram. I thought it was funny. That was the idea behind it. He, on his way out, had a picture of the famous OJ chase down the highway with dozens of police cars following the white Bronco with Al Cowlings at the wheel. He superimposed himself at the wheel, a smiling Melvin Gordon at the wheel of the Bronco that says, "Ha-ha, all you fans, you are hell. Thank you all to Broncos country. Let's at least laugh on the way out." And some people, in just their typical just hate Melvin Gordon for everything, blame everything on Melvin Gordon. We're like, oh, what a classless way to go. I thought it was funny. He said, can we at least have a laugh on the way out? I laughed.
Yeah, I think it, yeah, I'm with you on that. Good for you. That was actually funny. I mean, it was a tumultuous time here. There's no question. He did not perform up to the standard. You know, we talked about the Broncos signing him in the first place to that ridiculous deal, like bidding against yourself to sign him. That was
inconceivable.
But that's not his fault.
No.
That's
John Elway's fault.
Yeah, that part was, that was just from day one, that contract was just ridiculously stupid. And then to bring him back, that one was on George Payton. To bring him back after, I mean, how many lives does the guy have?
We'll see, won't we? We'll see. We'll see if he has any left.
I was actually, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there was a prominent Broncos, you know, employee in passing in the restroom during halftime of me calling that game, and that prominent Broncos employee said, "How many lives does this guy have?"
Well, no more Bronco lives. That's that is for sure. Next to four down.
1, 2, 3.
Fourth down.
It's a total scramble. Emergency mode for the unbeaten Horned Frogs. Hypno-toed in a hurry. Griffin Kell for the win. TCU is undefeated still.
Fox there with the call. We're going to have Joel Klatt coming on 1 hour from now, and he can tell us about the college football playoff rankings, which have Georgia at 1, Ohio State at 2, Michigan at 3, TCU at 4, LSU at 5, USC at 6. The question I want to ask Joel is, the loser of Ohio State Michigan this week, should they, with only one loss, be out of the top 4? And should a 2-loss LSU team or a 1-loss USC team take their place? Do you have a thought on that, or do you want to wait till we run that by Joel?
Well, let's say, listen, I have not watched a lot of college football, so I would rather wait. I mean, I was kind of almost, you know, the Horned Frog thing. I mean, they kick a last second field goal to beat Baylor. I thought, wow, what does that do to you? Like, does that drop you out? But yeah, I'm interested to hear what Joel has.
Yeah, definitely. When you play the game of which one of these don't belong, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU, I think we all know the answer to that. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the sports scene. Adrian Dater, our Avalanche insider, will join us as we talk about this amazing Big Three that just refuses to make any excuses and is hell-bent on carrying this hockey team. AD joins us next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Adrian Dater, our Avalanche insider, are going to be joining us here in just a second. Avalanche rolling right along. Boy, what a statement they made on their road trip. They go to three places where you know the teams that they were playing were laying in wait lying in wait for chance to measure themselves against the defending Stanley Cup champs.
Uh-huh.
And what do the Avalanche do? They win at Carolina. They win in D.C. against Washington. They win in Dallas against the Stars. And all three of those. And by the way, doing it shorthanded, guys out with injuries, guys that they're still trying to replace from last year, very impressive. Let's ask Adrian Dater about it. Our Avalanche insider, join us courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. AD, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And boy, what a statement by the Avs, I thought, on this three-game road trip. The way that they went out and won in different ways and answered the bell against three teams that you know were looking at these games with the Avs as litmus-type test games.
Yeah, it was a great road trip by the Avs. I really thought that they just got better and better as it went on, too. I mean, they were heavily outshot in Carolina. They kind of got a game that was stolen for them by Pavel Francouz. But after that, they just buckled down more. Probably Jared Bednar gave them a good talking to about defensive pressure. And, boy, they just kind of dominated the next couple of games against, you're right, teams that really did want to beat them pretty bad. I know the game against Dallas went into overtime, but I felt like the Avs had that game. Played much better team game than Dallas. And now they come home and play one before the holiday against Vancouver tonight. Looks easy. Well, it looks like an easy 2 points. But, there's the old saying, first game back after a road trip can be a tough one. Man, I don't think so. I think the Avs are going to win tonight.
Yeah, and then obviously what they did, Darcy Kuemper. And you mentioned Frankie and his, the way he played. Just the goaltending in general was, I think, a question coming in here. Obviously, they decided not to re-sign Kuemper. So, just early returns on goaltending in general right now with the Avalanche.
Yeah, well, it's looking like a very good decision by the Avalanche to do what they did, which is let Kuemper go, get his big money, and start over with a new pairing. And it's looking like a genius move again by Joe Sakic. Probably gets that credit. And I know Chris McFarlane is the GM now, but I think that move was made by Sakic, and great addition, I think, with Georgiev, who really looks good to me. Young, quick, hungry. Kuemper looks a little. We don't need to talk too much about him, but let's face it, he did. We were always a little nervous with him in the net. I think we'd be a lot more nervous if he was our guy for five more years at $6 million. So the Avs are paying under that for both these guys. And, so it's just looking good there. I mean, the goaltending was what won them those three games. And it, nothing against Darcy Kuemper. I mean, the guy did his job, but boy, the Avalanche look a lot better in goal moving forward for the next few years, I think, than the Washington Capitals are right now with the $6 million man, Darcy Kuemper.
Visit with Adrian Dater, our Avalanche insider. And I want to talk about Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, Nathan MacKinnon, because in a sports city right now where you look at the other teams and you see poor management, poor coaching, poor culture, I look at the Avs and I look at these three. And the standard that they have set and the standard that they hold to themselves and to everybody else. You got three guys who easily, coming off winning the Stanley Cup, coming off a short off season, knowing it's a long season, could easily say, we're banged up right now. We're missing some guys. We're still trying to replace some guys who aren't here anymore. Hey, we can coast a little bit. But yet they refuse, and they have no problem hoisting this team up on their shoulders if necessary and delivering. And I think that it needs to be highlighted and talked about and celebrated what these three are doing right now.
Yeah, Cale Makar, first guy to ever to 200 points as a defenseman, fastest of anybody in NHL history. Not a bad thing to say when some guys in the competition list include guys like Bobby Orr, Paul Coffey, etc. MacKinnon is who he is. He's just, he transformed his whole career by going to a new diet, by just doubling down on everything he wanted to do in his career. getting really, really serious about everything. And Randon is just a horse. I mean, I think that Mikko Randon right now is a candidate for the Hart Trophy. His points per game are phenomenal. He's leading. He's scoring big goals. He's playing good defensive hockey too. He's physical. I mean, he's just turned into a great player. And don't forget who they're still missing, and guys are coming back. I mean, Landeskog will be back. Bo Byram, Sam Girard, Val Nichushkin. So I think this has been a potential turning point of the season, how that road trip turned out, knowing that they can still win without some key guys. And when they come back, they're going to be that much tougher.
Just a final one for me, any concerns you look at and you say, well, there's anything that bothers you about this team, or is it just, wait till the Stanley Cup playoffs start again, because this team is low?
Well, I think we're still going to talk about the second line center thing, and, will that be taken over by Alex Newhook? Will it, or is Evan Rodriguez the new guy that can lead that position? I still think we're going to be talking about that come the trade deadline. Little things like that. They are last in the league in face-off percentage. I guess, they proved last year that they were, they could win a cup without being the top face-off team. I think they were third worst. Penalty killing, still a little iffy at times, but the second line center position, Mark, is the thing that we're still going to have to address and talk about by the deadline.
Okay, Adrian, great stuff. We'll see what happens tonight. Of course, you get all your coverage of the Avs home and away throughout the season with AD and his outstanding staff at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Adrian, happy Thanksgiving, and thank you so much.
You too, guys. Take care.
There he goes, Adrian Dater, our Avalanche insider. Join us courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. AD and all of our guests appearing on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Coming up next, what's trending? Apparently what's trending is I've made an enemy of Derek Wolf. And normally I'd laugh that off, but with this guy, no. Details next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
All right, so last week we talked about the importance in this offense, the West Coast offense, of being able to run the wide zone. And you went on talking about how it is very difficult, not efficient, to be able to run the wide zone out of shotgun.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned how Derek Wolf said you can run out of shotgun and the pistol, he said you can run out of shotgun and the pistol, and you said yes, you can run out of the pistol, but not efficiently out of the shotgun. So I said Wolf was wrong, and it got back to Wolf.
Ooh.
Your response?
What Mark was saying, that's what I was saying, that you can call it the wide zone. It's still called the wide zone. It's super predictable for a defense, because obviously the running back is offset one side. It's predictable, but you can still run the play. Same with the pistol. The pistol makes it less predictable because the running back is at home, so he can go whatever way he wants. So if Russ is, that's what I was saying. If Russ is that stuck on being in shotgun, and that's important to him, then run it from a pistol. That was it. And you can still run the wide zone from the shotgun with an offset back. 12 personnel. You can still do it.
Are we just getting into semantics then?
Yes. Okay. He's trying to start a fight. All right? He's trying to pick a fight. I'm not going to take the bait.
How's he doing?
No, he's not doing well.
He's not making it?
No.
Where's he falling short?
So what Mark said about how it's a mid-zone, mm-hmm. All right? He's right. It's designed for it to cut back. But it looks like wide zone, and it's made for the cutback. That's what I was saying. What they want to see is them get in the under center, mm-hmm. back at home, toss it out to him, and let him run that wide zone.
Mm-hmm. Which they did a couple times, yeah. Against Tennessee. They did exactly that.
Yeah. So for Mike to say that I'm wrong, totally wrong, is garbage. So he has made up a fake scenario in his head.
Fake scenario?
All I said was garbage. You can still run.
Mm-hmm.
The wide zone out of that shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
which is really a mid zone.
Listen to defense.
But it looks
here.
Like wide zone to the defense. You could still run it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't disagreeing that we don't need to be in an under center position. Like the quarterback needs to be under center. Russell Wilson needs to be under center, back at home, running it both ways. You can run it weak. You can run it strong. You can do the same thing from shotgun. But it's not as effective because it's predictable.
Okay.
That's what I said.
So there's a little nuance to it, and Mike Evans is kind of a moron because he just wants it black or white.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's pretty consistent with Mike Evans. Can you imagine I've been battling with this ding-dong about quarterbacks for, like, years and years and
years?
Yeah,
well, he just made an enemy.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. All right.
All right, I think I just...
That makes me slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
We rarely see them.
All right, so...
Yeah, he's lucky we don't see
them.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, okay, I think I just pee shivered a little bit.
Yeah,
I think I just peed down my leg.
That'll get you. That'll get you.
First of all, D-Mac really wants to be the one calling me a ding-dong when the two quarterbacks that he wanted the most in 2018 both bust for the mighty Carolina Panthers.
Hmm.
And each one only gets to play because the other one sucks so bad. Sam
Darnold's
getting the next chance. So he's calling me the ding-dong. Okay, but now... What I heard was Derek Wolfe kind of basically admitting everything that you were talking about, that you can't run efficiently out of the shotgun. That, yeah, you can do it. Sure, you can do anything in the NFL offensively. Lord knows the Broncos have tested that theory this year, but that doesn't mean it's smart. So you were right in saying that you can't do it.
Well, yeah, you can't. I mean, you shouldn't do it. You can call it wide zone, but it's a mid zone play. I mean, I talked to Hackett about it, and he even said, "Yeah, well, what we do is we still call it wide, but we ended up changing the entry point of the back. So, in a normal wide zone, the entry point of the back is the inside hip of the tight end. That's where you want to go, but you don't have any downhill path to it. So, in that zone, which is a mid zone." The entry point is the inside hip of the offensive tackle, so that's your aiming point, and then you're cutting back. But the bottom line is you don't get a downward trajectory toward the line of scrimmage. It's a side-to-side entry, and so it doesn't look the same. What it doesn't do is it doesn't stretch the defense. The whole point of a wide zone is to stretch the defense, you know? And so that really truly is... to me, that's the point of running that play. Get them overrunning so the cutback lanes become prominent. You can't do that out of shotgun. Now, you can do it out of pistol. And there are a lot of teams I'm studying right now. I've got the Falcons, Washington this week, and I'm studying the Falcons. And they run a load of pistol, a ton of it. And they're a really good running team.
All right, well, I'm worried because I know that Wolf is a big John Rambo fan. And I feel like I may have just become Will Teasel.
They drew first blood, not me.
I feel like I'm Sheriff Will Teasel.
Is he a Rambo fan? You know he's probably got one of them big Bowie hunting knives.
Right? Oh, I wouldn't be surprised right now if Derek Wolfe is in a cave right now planning my demise.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I wouldn't either.
No way.
He probably just skewered a wild boar.
Yes.
He's just
feasting on wild boar right now, getting sustenance to get ready to plan my demise.
And he's just eating it raw because he didn't do a fire because he doesn't want anybody to know where he is.
That's right.
He doesn't want no smoke signal.
That's right.
He's eating wild boar.
Brian, the great Brian Dennehy, Will Teasel in First Blood. All right, that was a long one. Here we go. It's just, it got sent to me. It's like, hey, did you hear Derek Wolfe was mad at you on Friday? I went, uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Because seriously, all the other guys here, all the other former players, I don't mind giving grief to Stoke or Chad Brown or...
Yeah.
But Derek...
Chad Brown.
Derek...
Yeah,
Derek scares me a little bit.
Yeah, it's just...
Great news!
Enough craziness there.
Great news. Las Vegas is getting a Final Four in 2028. I love that it's just... No holds barred now. Can you believe there was actual debate about whether or not pro sports, and I put the Final Four as like a pro sport, that these kind of events should ever be played in Las Vegas because of,
The gambling.
Oh, no, right. Taboo. I love how we have just completely ripped that Band-Aid off. It's awesome.
We're just like, whatever. We're trying to make money. Yeah, I mean, that's great for Vegas. I mean, Vegas is going to have... Dude, there's going to be so many just crazy events out there.
Right now.
It's, every weekend you can go out there. There's so many sporting events.
It's so great. So great. By the way, use this time to mention that the first couple rounds of the NCAA basketball tournament coming to Denver this year at Ball Arena. So make sure you get your tickets for those. I understand that they're selling very well. So what a great event that is. Thanksgiving NFL preview. We got three games coming up tomorrow. We've got Buffalo at Detroit. We got the Giants at Dallas. And we've got the Patriots at Minnesota. Uh-oh. Kirk Cousins, primetime game. Watch out.
Oh, Kirk Cousins. Listen, I think this is a good thing for Kirk Cousins. I mean, after that debacle against the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, don't you feel like they get the huge win, maybe the best game of the year against the Buffalo Bills, and they just get trounced by the Cowboys? I feel like this is kind of a bounce back game for them.
Really?
Against New England
against Squishy Mac?
Against Squishy Mac and the Patriots, who are, you know, able to score 3 points against the Jets and that stellar deep.
Is it
only three?
Is it almost like poetic justice that at the end of a day of just gorging on food and turkey and mashed potatoes and pie that you sit back and watch Squishy Mac do his thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. It is. It'll be beautiful. He'll be just like laying on the couch. Like I connect with that guy. He'll become. He's your Thanksgiving Day quarterback.
Squishy. Right.
Yeah.
So the new Avatar movie is coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been a long time. James Cameron, noted director, you know, the Titanic guy, Avatar guy, you know, he's a big dude, right? Mm. So Avatar, The Way of Water is coming out. So apparently this movie is such a big budget film that it needs to make $2 billion just to break even. It needs to be the fourth highest grossing movie of all time just to make a profit.
Really?
Yes.
See, that in and of itself would make me not go. I'll see it when it comes out on video. Or whatever, you know, when you can get it free. I don't know. The first Avatar was, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
The first one. But I just feel like that's kind of for me, that was almost a one and done thing.
You think so?
Yeah. Are you excited to go see it?
Well, we went to see Black Panther yesterday. By the way, I really enjoyed it. I liked Black Panther a lot. I know it's got some mixed reviews. I liked it. Just my own personal opinion. But we saw the Avatar preview.
Uh-huh.
And, boy, I hope there's more to this movie than what they just showed in the preview. Because as I was watching the preview, I'm like, huh? What? How's this going to work?
Yeah, I haven't seen the preview. I haven't seen a poster. I've really seen nothing, which lends me to believe I don't like it already.
By the way, James Cameron, I'll hold on to that. There's a funny James Cameron story that goes back to the first Avatar I'll share with you. It is a Tell Me Why I'm Wrong Thanksgiving edition, and we got some great ones that we want to get to, and we'll do that next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
It's a Tell Me Why I'm Wrong Thanksgiving edition. As we're getting a little loose on this the day before Thanksgiving, where you come up with some hot takes, slathered in gravy, and tell us why Mark has to agree with you and say you're not wrong. And so far we get two already today, so we're off to a good start.
Yeah, we are. And you know, I mean, part of them, Thanksgiving Day. I'm going easy on you people today is what I'm saying. So if you're ever going to get one, today's the day.
No excuses, no explanations, do your job.
Yeah, I'm feeling magnanimous.
Okay, well, here we go.
It's the holiday season.
Here we go. Joel Klatt's going to be joining us coming up in about 20 minutes. We have a Joel Klatt Tell Me Why I'm Wrong. I'm going to have to run this one by Joel, too. But, Mark, Joel has waiters at his house on Thanksgiving who are paid to take a nap after Joel is done eating. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Because Joel is such a germaphobe, he's not going to have anybody serving or touching his plates.
Good point. Good point.
Right.
Excellent point.
Joel's the kind of guy that has, like, brand new toilet seats, like, in a closet. And then when people come over to visit and use the guest bathroom, he changes out the toilet. He throws those away and changes out the toilet seats.
So forget about just putting, like, that paper down.
Right.
On the toilet seat. He just flat out replaces the toilet seat.
Right. Okay. He's like, okay, the seat needs to be, I can't ever sit there again. So that's going to have to be replaced.
You know what, Mark?
It's not good enough to sanitize it.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong, Mark.
Right.
Here's one. The green bean casserole is the Detroit Lions of the Thanksgiving meal. Mark, tell me why I'm wrong.
Ooh, I disagree.
Oh, really? You like the green bean casserole?
With the onion stuff on top? Yeah. What? You need more greens in your diet, Mike.
Not on Thanksgiving Day. No, on Thanksgiving Day, it's turkey, it's stuffing, it's potatoes, it's cranberry sauce. There's really no need for a vegetable.
No. Do you like
good
corn?
Coffee slurp right there? Nice.
Yeah. Do you like corn on cream corn or just regular corn?
No. And somebody said the best way to eat your mashed potatoes is with corn in the mashed potatoes.
I love that.
Well, now I'm just mixing a little bit of meat, and I got shepherd's pie. What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
You don't like corn in your mashed potatoes?
No.
Dude.
Well, yes, when I'm eating shepherd's pie, but I'm not eating shepherd's pie on Thanksgiving.
But you can make your own little shepherd's, like a little vegan shepherd pie. I really don't understand you.
Are you
one of those people that think I'm only eating my mashed potatoes like your stomach is compartmentalized? Here's the mashed potatoes go over here, the corn goes over here, like a 3-year-old?
I will admit, I love the challenge. It's like putting a puzzle together. I love the challenge of, okay, I have one plate. How am I going to fit everything on the plate? And I enjoy the challenge of that. And I'm also somebody that does not mind at all the food touching. Some people don't like their food touching on their plate. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, my Uncle Bob, my wife's brother, does not like to any of his food to touch.
Really?
He's very particular about that.
That's weird. Dan in Loveland, stink. Fried turkey is better than regular classic turkey. Tell me why I'm wrong.
That's a palate thing, right? What about smoked turkey? I like the deep fried turkey. I really do. But I don't know that any one is better than the other. They're all delicious.
Like, delicious.
The very degrees of deliciousness, it's just delicious. Turkey is delicious. It's
delicious.
A wonderful bird. It really is. Think about that.
Here's one. I personally think Russ is tanking this season. Just look at the decisions he's been making. Doesn't make sense. Russ wants a different coach, and he's sabotaging Hackett.
No.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Because that's your film. At the end, your legacy. At the end, is anybody going to make the excuse for Russ that, well, he had a coach that he didn't philosophically agree with, and therefore he played poor? No, you're going to look at Russ, and you're going to go, dude, the guy played poorly. He was horrible. And, I mean, that goes on your legacy. That's your film that's out there. Nobody else is pulling the trigger. Nobody else is doing that. And nobody else is missing wide-open receivers or not seeing wide-open receivers. That's your legacy. And I just know from playing, man, there is no way that I would ever. I've got too much pride, and he's got too much pride in what he's done to this point to go out there and purposely throw out bad film. That film there are plenty of games I've played in where I have hoped that film gets destroyed and nobody ever sees it again. And that's that whole season for Russ.
To think that he's purposely tanking that's harsh. But, I couldn't help but notice that after weeks of hearing you come out every week say, Russ needs to take the first available option, especially if it's open. He can't be afraid to throw it short. Let the playmakers get the ball into the playmakers' hands and let them roll with it. You've been saying that all season long. Mm-hmm. And in the first half of that game with Clint Kubiak calling plays, he suddenly did it.
Right.
It did seem night and day, didn't it?
Yeah, he was.
The buy-in part of it?
He was actually good.
Yeah.
But then when the Raiders end up taking that stuff away, I don't know. It's almost like he's just regressed. Like he's so. It's almost like he lacks confidence in his ability to read things out. I don't know. I don't know what it is, Mike. I really don't.
How about this one? If Russell was playing behind the Chiefs or even an average offensive line, he would be playing at a high level. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Because he's missing things. When things are wide open and when he is protected, he's still missing them. I mean, he's missing them on a consistent basis. And, you know, let's face it, the Chiefs don't want to run the ball. I mean, Andy Reid doesn't want to run that and take that pressure off. So a lot of how good the Chiefs are up front, a lot of that is determined on, you know, the unicorn. And what that guy does and how he extend plays and how he makes throws. So let's face it, if Russ was behind that offensive line, all of a sudden that offensive line wouldn't be the greatest offensive line ever. I mean, come on. It works in unison. There is a complementary nature to the way Patrick Mahomes, you know, extends plays and makes great throws and does all that stuff and the way you guys play, especially when you consider that sometimes they don't even – they just – blatantly refuse to run the ball. It's not like they can't. They just don't want to.
I'm here.
Here's another one for you. Yes, we're well aware of you. God.
I'm here.
Yes.
Yeah.
The boogeyman. Yes. We get to see it two more times this season. Isn't that... Hey, this season's been so great, and we still haven't seen the Chiefs yet.
I'm here.
Wait a minute. We haven't won an AFC West game yet, have we?
Nope.
We lost to the Chargers. We lost two to the Raiders.
Yeah, 0-3.
0-3.
Still time to go 3-3, which was the goal when this whole thing started. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, but the thing was, we knew we were going to lose at least one to the Chiefs.
True.
We picked the 3-3 thing.
Good point.
I'm here.
Good point. Here's one for you. Mark, if Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Locke were still here, I would feel better about their future than I do right now. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, if those guys are here, you're not ever going to feel good about Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. Sorry. You're just not. Now, I'm not saying that maybe they wouldn't have a better record right now, but you're not going to feel secure about the future. At least you feel like, at least, come on, Broncos country feels like this, all right? As poorly as Russ has played, and he's played poorly, as poorly as he's played, if we had, and this is how Broncos country, I'm not saying this is me, I'm just saying Broncos country is sitting there saying, if we had the right coach, you know, like what Pete Carroll was able to do with Russ, then we'd be okay. Like if we had a coach that would focus on running the ball and playing a little grittier and a little smarter and this, that, and the other, we'd be okay and could tell Russ, this is the way we're going to do things, and you don't have a say in it, then I think you would all feel a lot better.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can we address the elephant in the room?
Okay. I didn't know there was one, but I'm ready.
There is one.
Okay.
Do you believe that the Russell Wilson experience here in Denver will have a happy ending?
Ooh.
And by happy ending, I mean what we're watching from him this year is whatever. It's an aberration. It's a fluke. It's him trying to adjust to a new environment. It's not feeling confident behind the offensive line. It's maybe not having some of the key personnel around him he thought he would have. That eventually this thing will all get ironed out and he will be the guy we thought he'd be.
Wow. Do I have faith that that will happen?
It's spicy.
It is spicy, Russ.
Bye.
As I
like, I still am. I still am. I'm not going to let 1 year tell the whole tale.
Here comes the airplane.
It's an ugly chapter, but I just refuse to think that this is the book.
Okay. All right. I will say this. I'm with you, but there are going to have to be some dramatic changes. And do they have the stomach to make those dramatic changes as an organization?
And they are?
I think you're going to have to. I think you're going to have to, from a coaching staff standpoint, you're either going to have to get complete and total buy-in from Russ, or you're going to have to make a change. If you can't get complete and total buy-in, if you can't come to some type of, you know, some type of, or and by buy-in, and maybe you can't, maybe you've already acquiesced to the point where there's no turning back. You've already said, hey, Russ, you can have it your way. And at some point, I think you're going to have to get, if it's beyond the point of if there, it's beyond the point of an overturn, you're going to have to do what you said. You're going to have to get a guy in here that is a really respected dude, that's a relational builder and a culture builder, a Dan Quinn, and say, we're revamping what we're doing. And, you know, Russ was around Dan Quinn when Russ won his first Super Bowl. You know, a guy that has some gravitas, some veteran leadership capabilities that can get total buy-in and has that kind of reputation. And then, you know, you're going to have to put in a system and that has the authority to tell Russ, no, absolutely not. And there are consequences. And listen, man, the consequence of this Melvin Gordon thing, this was so late, it doesn't change anything. Because to make a move, Mike, to have the quote-unquote sacrificial lamb and to make a move, you know, and, you know, we're not going to put up with this anymore and we're putting our foot down now, that should have been done months ago. Like months ago. For that move to resonate in the locker room, that has to be done after your first loss to the Raiders. This is not the standard here. And there will be consequences when you don't play to the standard.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.